a little over 1,200 times in the King James Bible, in 1,100 and some verses. And it's unfortunate that the majority of those times that the word because is in the scripture, it's used in verses that spell consequence for disobedience. And because you have not adhered to my law, and because of your actions, there is consequences that is going to happen. But I'd like for us to consider because in a uplifting, positive matter. Because, a word that means by cause. So because means by cause or by the cause, on this account, or on this account, because, on this account. You understand? For the cause which is explained in the next proposition. In other words, you presented something or established something, and then because, or here is the consequence or the result, or this is the thing that comes out of that. For the reason next explained, I'm going to read that again. It says, for the cause which is explained in the next proposition, for the reason next explained. Many times because is the answers to the why questions. As parents have young children and the children learn to start asking questions to gain information, and there's a period of time that most all children go through where they just have that one word question of why. And you can give them an explanation and they want to know why that's the explanation. And you can explain your explanation and they still will ask why. So they want another explanation of the explanation of the explanation. And somewhere along the line, the parent most likely will say, because. Maybe it's because you're not old enough to understand, or maybe it's because I said so. The cause is not necessarily a direct response or antidote to the why. So let's keep that in mind. Because is not necessarily correlate exactly. Because I said so is a blanket statement parents can use that trumps all the efforts to reason about a particular situation or incident, because. And you can end the discussion with because. Because is an empowering word for the one that uses it. Because up until the time you say because, you're just presenting ideas that can be criticized, or maybe, and when you come up with because, there's a consequence that's not pretty, because there is an end result, because you don't understand all the facts, maybe you know some inside information that the other person doesn't, and when you say because you don't know what I know, then because becomes a very empowering word. Because infers authority. Because declares confidence. When I say because, it's because I feel like I know what I'm talking about. If we lose our cause, then We'll be overthrown in our emotions. We'll be overthrown in our ideals. We'll be overthrown in our beliefs. And many times it affects us physically if we lose our cause. Because or by the cause. Why do I do the things that I do? Why can I do the things I do? It's the cause, isn't it? And the phrase I put on the board was, because He lives. Our causes have purpose and direction. At least I feel that my causes do. My causes are the things that cause me to, it forces me, if you will, it makes me realize I have a responsibility to get up in the morning and to apply myself and to search for answers and to expend my energy and all of that. It's my causes. It's the thing that gives me most reward when I begin to realize the fulfillment of my cause. So I'd like for us to look at this phrase, because He lives. And I would like to look at it from a perspective that's hopefully a long ways off. I believe it is. Sometimes we say, because I said so, and we don't really want to give an explanation. Because we're lazy. Because we don't want to apply ourselves. And sometimes it's too sensitive of information. But because He lives, I want us to look at this from a perspective of realizing that it's so very real. And because is something that empowers us today. And not in a negative way, but in a very positive way, because He lives. I'm reminded of my life, the years that I spent before I became a legal driver, and looking forward to the day that I would become of age, that I could take my driver's test, and I'm glad I can report that I went and took my driver's test one time, and I passed, and I went home driving as a legal driver. I don't know if that's still available or not, but I did. I took my written test and passed it, and turned around and passed my driving exam, and I drove my parent home as a legal driver. And now I look back, and it's been a long time since that time. So I would like for us to see a picture in the Scripture of what it means to realize we're looking back and saying, because He still lives. But you know, there was a time in the very distant past that there were those that looked on the idea of Jesus being alive, because He lives, it was something in the future. So I'd like for us to turn to Job, the 19th chapter, and begin reading here in verse 25 in Job 19. He says, Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Job was looking down the timeline to the time that Jesus would come to this earth. He says, "I know my Redeemer liveth." You know, today when we say because He lives, we believe that Jesus is still alive, that He rose from the dead. Job looked down in the annals of time, and he said, "I know my Redeemer is alive today, but there's coming a day that He is going to actually put foot on this earth." And then he said in verse 26, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job was looking down time to the point that Jesus would come, but he said currently, at his time of life, and depending on what theory you apply yourself to, it's very likely that Job lived in a time about as far before Christ came as we live after. Somewhere around 2,000 years before Christ is the time that Job most likely lived on this earth. And now here we are on a far other end of the spectrum. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And in Daniel, the third chapter, we find the three Hebrew children came to a place that they were trusting in something beyond themselves. And it was a confidence that they had to have. Today, I can face tomorrow because he lives. And in Daniel, the third chapter, beginning in verse 16, he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If so be our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Because we have a God that's alive, because we have a Savior, because I know my Redeemer liveth, I will not bow myself to the things of this, the idols that this world is worshiping, because he lives. They're still before Christ came. But they had a confidence that God was able to deliver them. I'm confident today because he lives. He's able to deliver me. And in Daniel, the sixth chapter, we find that Daniel himself was faced with a very difficult situation. He said in verse 20, Daniel didn't even tell the king that he knew he would come through. But the king had the confidence that Daniel's God was alive. A pagan king, one that looked on and only observed Daniel's life. And I wonder today, the people that look on to us, do they have a realization that God must be real? Do they have an appreciation for the reality of a living Savior because of what they see in our lives? This man did. This king did. It says, when he came to the den, this is the king, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. What does it mean to be lamentable? I believe the king had tears in his eyes, and his voice was shaking, and he said with as much confidence that he could, Daniel, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the what? The living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and has shut the lions' mouths and have not hurt me, for as much as before him an innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. I believe today that our God is alive, that he can live in our hearts and our lives and in our souls today, because he lives. I can face whatever the future holds, Because he lives, I can be courageous in the face of discouragement. Because he lives, I don't have to bow to the idols of this world. I don't have to succumb to the temptations. I don't have to succumb to the things that would steal my joy and my peace. I can be strong in the face of all of that. I'd like to turn to John, the 14th chapter, and read. We're coming up to a present time. Let's look to St. John, the 14th chapter. And we'll notice the words of Jesus himself in 14 and 19. He says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more." This was after the Last Supper. It's after he had walked out into the garden and he was talking with his disciples and giving them some last minute instructions. He says, "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me because I live. Ye shall live also." Because he lives. Jesus said the world won't see me any longer. There's a lot in that little phrase. Because he was going to be crucified, because he was going to be put in a grave, because he was going to be resurrected, and because he was going to ascend up on high, he said, the world won't see me in just a little while, but ye shall see me because, what's his promise? Because I live. Because Jesus is alive, ye shall live also. We can have spiritual life today. In the face of all of the discouraging things around about us, we can have spiritual life. I'd like to turn now to Acts, the 7th chapter, and notice as we march down the timeline very rapidly, we're covering thousands of years in a short amount of time here. Acts 7 in verse 55 beginning. He says, this is Stephen, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." What's transpired here? The world couldn't see Jesus anymore in the flesh. Jesus had already ascended. The early morning church had already blossomed, and there it was spreading rampantly. And Saul, that later became Paul, was persecuting. He hadn't even begun his persecutions. He was a young man standing there, holding the coats of those that began to stone Stephen. Verse 56, "And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." What did Jesus say? "The world won't see me anymore, but ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also." Stephen here had a vision in his spirit. He could see it. I don't know how literal of a sight it was, but he had a very steadfast vision. It says, "He being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven." There wasn't anything wavering. Is there anything wavering today in us? Do we believe because he lived? Can we take the authoritative position because he lived? It's a word of authority. It's a word of assertion because he lives. Stephen said, "I see him. Jesus is alive. He's standing at the right hand of the Father." 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and the 3rd verse. He says here, Apostle Paul now, Saul he was in the last verse that we read, and Paul he is now. He says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart." You know, Paul had a real perspective. I wonder how many times he thought back of that scene where he was standing and heard Stephen say, looking up into the heavens, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father." I wonder how many times that don't you know his Damascus Road experience we replayed over and over and over again in his life. When he heard that voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He realized that he's alive. Because he lives. Because he wasn't just exterminated when they crucified him. Because he lives. And here he said, This epistle is written in your hearts. The truth that's written in your hearts. The thing that won't let you deviate from truth. It's written in your heart. It's not something that's just a head knowledge. It's not something that you've just studied out. It's a conviction down in my heart. Jesus is alive and I want to be true to Him. It's an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. It's down in, it's part of who I am because I know my Redeemer liveth. Because I know that He is there for me. That's why I can't deviate from the path that I'm on. Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter, and notice what Paul said here. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. He said, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He is our resurrection. He is the one that has given us spiritual life and enabled us to be alive unto God. Allows us to be dead to sin because He lives. I can say no to sin because He lives. I can resist the temptation because He lives. I can have courage to face whatever life brings me. He says in 1 Timothy in the 4th chapter, and beginning in the 10th verse, he says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially for those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." He said in verse 10, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in what? The living God. Because He lives. We trust in a living God. Timothy, a second generation Christian, if you will, beyond the apostles, someone that was young enough to be Paul's son, and Paul most likely was younger than the other 12 apostles. Next generation. Does he live for you? Is he alive in your heart? Is he alive in your spirit? Or is he just a cliche or a quote or a good book? Is it a good thought? Is it something to consider? Is it something that an older generation seemed to find important? Or is he alive? Is he alive to you? In verse 10 he said, because, in the middle of the verse, because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. I believe Paul, when he wrote this to Timothy, I believe he was convinced that that Christ was alive. Jesus said the world won't be able to see me anymore, but ye see me because I live. Do we see him? Do we see him alive? Or do we just see him in the scripture? Do we just see him in the textbook, so to speak? Do we want to be dead to sin? Or do we want to be dead in sins? I believe we want to be dead to sin. I believe we want to have the living Savior living in our hearts and in our lives. We're going to have the vision, and we're going to have to know without a shadow of a doubt, my Redeemer liveth, just like Job did, maybe as much as 4,000 years ago. Maybe it was more than that. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day. Did you know that Jesus will stand before all of us, or we'll stand before him, rather? Because he lives, the songwriter said, we can face uncertain days. I don't know what the future holds, but I know as much as you do, and you don't know either. Because he lives, we can face uncertain days. Because he lives, the songwriter said, I can face tomorrow. You know, sometimes tomorrow has some undesirable things. Because tomorrow might hold some things that you don't really want to do. Tomorrow might hold some predictable disappointments. Tomorrow might hold some hurdles that you've got to get over. Tomorrow might see you facing rejection or something of that nature. But did you know, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And this one is a big one. The songwriter said, because he lives, all fear is gone. You know, there's one thing to be afraid of something that goes bump in the night, and there's another thing to live in fear. Fear that God would come and find me guilty. Fear that I'm not pleasing the Lord. But he lives. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because if we apply ourselves and invite him to come in and wash us clean and straighten up our act, if you will, we can get rid of that fear. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And the songwriter said, because he lives, life is worth the living. Life is worth living. You know, that's a thing that our world today is missing. You know that suicide is at a high in our world. And it's because people don't realize that he's alive. I wish that we had a room full today of people that could get a hold of that message. And they don't have to be afraid of tomorrow, and they don't have to live with fear, and they don't have to live with feeling that they're of no value. But because he lives, life is worth living. Because he lives, there's hope for tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face the uncertainty of whatever the future might hold because he lives. I can be steadfast like Stephen was and look up into the heavens and see my Redeemer standing at the right hand of the Father. Because I want us to be willing and ready to use that word on the enemy that brings all kinds of discouraging things to our mind. Because why? Because Jesus is alive. Because he lives, I can face whatever the devil might bring my way. Not because I'm too lazy to find the answer or anything like that, but because Jesus is alive and because he's real and because he wants to empower us, all we have to do is begin. When the devil brings those thoughts of why is this happening to you and why can't this be, why can't it be this way or why can't it be that way? We can just say, like the parent that answers the questioning child, because what? Because he lives. Because he lives in my heart. And not just because he lives in my heart, because he lives, the world is in subjection to him. I desire your prayers. I don't want to ever forget that Jesus is alive. And because he lives, I can have victory in my life. You pray for me.